This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's now 7:48. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Chung Han and Julian Ng this morning. Now, Khoo Swee Chuang is going to be speaking to Hernando Caceres, the country manager for Malaysia for DNVGL. Now, if you haven't heard of them, they are the world's largest safety, security, standards, regulatory compliance company for the oil and gas sector. And they're essentially like a bit of a Moody's, S&P, Fitch ratings.
Is it more like
for
that,
the oil and gas?
More like a Cerium of sorts?
It could be. So someone to govern or to look at due diligence and safety elements of the oil and gas sector. So, for instance, if you fail to certify, say, your vessel, it wouldn't be allowed to leave the dock. So really important, especially given that tragedies in the oil and gas sector could be terribly horrendous and big scale tragedies like the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. Mm. So we want to take a look at how you can make sure certification is transparent within the oil and gas sector. That's something we'll explore on The Breakfast Grill today, coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But first, sources say Petronas and Saudi Aramco are expected to sign an agreement to collaborate on the RAPID project in Pengerang. So this signing is expected to take place on Monday, according to one of these sources, during a visit by Saudi Arabia's King Salman to Malaysia.
Yeah, so apparently that will be Saudi Arabia's first official visit to Malaysia in over a decade. Now, this news is yet another development in this long-standing story. I think just a few weeks ago, other sources, you know, said that Petronas was going to go ahead with this deal other sources said that Aramco was pulling out of the deal, and then Petronas said that they're going to go at it alone. You know, so I think, you know, between now and Monday, we have to wait and see whether they actually put pen to paper. But, you know, this is a trend that we've been seeing of late. You know, this could perhaps, you know, hint at another G2G sort of deal, you know, like we've seen with China now, Saudi Arabia, right?
Yeah, I think it's a very good thing because RAPID is such a strategic project hailed to be the savior of not only the oil and gas sector, but the entire Malaysian economy as well, because Malaysia is much cheaper and possibly a lot more strategic than Singapore. Pengerang is right just next to Singapore. So it's very easy for Pengerang to fit into that whole Singapore-Malaysia paradigm where Malaysia rental cars and so on are much cheaper than Singapore. And then Singapore can go on and focus on some other thing. But also, Aramco, I mean, they're going to list.
I was thinking the same thing.
They're aligning, they're leaning towards New York. But here we are. They're coming here, hopefully, into Pengerang.
I was really wondering when I saw this, you know, since Aramco is going for listing, would Malaysia throw its hat in the ring to say, hey, you know what? You know, you reports say you may have soured on the idea of an Asian listing, but why not Bursa Malaysia?
So, maybe I'm just thinking out loud here. Instead of, you know, cash investments, maybe just give us shares. I don't know. Would you buy into that? I don't know. Well, but I mean,
you can always submit your
proposal.
There would
be enough to go around.
Hey, what? To 100 billion, man? Like, we'll take some of that, man. That's the, and that's only 5% of Aramco. But anyways, you know, yes. I mean, going back to the IPO thing, they have talked about perhaps offering discounted shares to Saudi Arabians. So I'm like, hey, you know, if you can send some of that our way, I think we'll be more than happy.
Send some of them into your account.
Yeah, your bank account. You know where to find me, buddy. BFM 89.9.
Let's not go about donations and all that.
Having said that, you should listen to yesterday's S&M episode where we discussed this with Munim Salam, who's the fund manager for Saterna, an Islamic-based fund manager. We really talked about whether Malaysia has what it takes to be an international center for Islamic investments.
Well, if you missed that episode of the S&M show, you can find it on BFM app. So just download the app on Apple's App Store or Google Play, and you can search for Munim Salam. That's M-O-N-E-M S-A-L-A-M.
And then while you are there, you can also check out our podcast from Julian's chat with PetCam, or Melissa, actually you.
Yeah.
Your chat with PetCam yesterday, again, speaking about RAPID and the potential it has for PetCam's earnings, right? So already they have seen, I believe, record earnings for the past quarter. So, you know, so looking ahead, you know, with this RAPID, this could be a further catalyst for their earnings, future earnings growth.
Not quite record, but very strong set of results. And they claim that was due to operational operational efficiency when asked if it was sustainable or not.
And Petchem is a key player within Rapid, and they expressed confidence that this project would go on as well.
It's slated for 2019 to be fully operational. Currently, according to news reports, 54% complete.
Okay, well, moving on to AirAsia X. They have returned to profit for the financial year 2016 after 3 years of losses. They posted a profit of 230 million ringgit for financial 2016. And if you compare that, the previous year, there was a net loss of 350 million.
Yeah, so it looks like the turnaround for AirAsia X is certainly, you know, I mean, it's come a long ways there. You know, kudos to them, you know, especially given what you just highlighted there, you know, 3 years of net losses. Now, that that figure of profit, you know, could have been a lot higher if it wasn't for A, the Forex losses. They saw a massive amount of losses. Also, for the fourth quarter, the most recent quarter that they're reporting on, their net profit actually dropped by 80%. Again, mainly due to that, those Forex losses of, 93.2 million ringgit. So it could have been a lot higher if it wasn't for the weaker ringgit. But still, no, hats off to AirAsia X there.
All those IPO investors in so much pain because they went into it at 125 per share. That was the IPO price way back in 2013. And if you see the trajectory of AirAsia Rex as a share price, you know, fallen from right down to, you know, 21 cent. And right now, double of that to 40 cent, right? If you bought at the low at 21 cent, you would have doubled your money. But still, if you were an IPO investor, a lot of pain there. And this Forex issue, I mean, AirAsia is affected operationally by jet fuel, and they benefited from that big crash in oil prices. And now we don't know where oil prices will go. But for Malaysian corporates as a whole, this whole weak ringgit scenario will play negatively into a lot of earnings.
Yeah.
You know, not only for the cost side, but also for many companies, there are US dollar debts, for example. Foreign exchange losses, I think, would be a main feature for the reporting season.
You know, also, I mean, speaking about fuel there, I recall earlier this year, Tony Fernandez then tweeting that AirAsia has hedged about 76%, of jet fuel requirements for this year. You know, so they've obviously, you know, they've made a bet that oil prices will rise from here on out, you know. But again, that is certainly something that has to be watched closely. Now, for AirAsia X, with their Hawaii flight set to begin taking off in the middle of this year or July this year.
Marika Maui.
Okay, there you go. Wait, Melissa, is
that's
this a
really good?
What?
I haven't
thank
heard
you,
that.
Melissa.
I
oh my word!
That's clearly not you, is it? Is
no, that was him. He's been saying that line for weeks
oh,
now.
Has he?
Yes.
He clearly has avoided saying it in front of me for fear of mockery.
I can't believe you actually encouraged him there.
That's true. Okay, well, let's move on from AirAsia.
I want to see it on the AirAsia banner.
We'll give them a call. But moving away from AirAsia X to Telekom Malaysia, again, another set of results. They've posted a net profit of 154 million ringgit for the fourth quarter, and they expect 2017 to be a promising year ahead, despite what they're calling current challenging times.
Yeah, also in terms of revenue, though, how about this? It surpassed the 12 billion ringgit mark for all of 2016. That is its record high for revenue there. Again, it's interesting to see how this massive giant, or this communications giant, has gone from your traditional, you know, your phone over the regular copper wires.
Yeah.
And now, like, their main driver for growth is actually moving away from that. And
Unify,
into,
right?
Yeah, well, basically non-voice services. Yeah.
Well, Telecom is looking at a revenue growth of 3.5% to 4% for 2017. In fact, here's the group CEO, Tan Sri Zamzam Zairani, saying that revenue growth target this year will be driven by two factors.
We look at improving the business of today. At the same time, we are investing in the future. And improvement of what we have today, you can clearly see in terms of Unify, the upgrades, ARPU increase in Unify, more content being bought by our customers. We expect that to continue to improve going forward. But on top of that, we also started investing in Weebi, for example, in LTE, that we started about 2 years ago, and that will continue. Last year was an aggressive rollout. So we would expect that we will start getting returns from this investment.
That was the CEO of Telekom Malaysia, Tan Sri Zamzam Zairani. Oh, the progress of Weeby, something interesting to take a closer look at.
Yeah, no, I mean, for $79, I know this is not a plug here, but, you know, essentially they have got this aggressive push that he mentioned earlier, right? I mean, at $79 for these unlimited services, you know, it is certainly a new and a very disruptive, or relatively disruptive player in the local telco space, you know, but whether or not they can really make inroads when it comes to, you know, those big boys, you know, the Maxis, the DG, the Cellcoms, you know, that is yet to be seen, but certainly their intention is certainly very evident.
Well, Maxis and DG, Sigve Breaker, you spoke to him, Melissa, mm-hmm. and I spoke to Martin Lundell as well. Martin Lundell, they don't believe that the market is big enough for so many players, and they think that it will consolidate back down to two or three players, actually.
Well, we also asked Tan Sri Zamzam about the progress of Weeby, and here's what he had to say.
With the original plan of launching in March, we had a target for 2016, 31st December. That target did not change, but we launched late in September. Although we did not achieve that target we set, we didn't meet it in 31st December, but we caught up with that target in the first month of 2017. So in other words, we met the target given for 9 months, we met those targets in 4 months.
That was the CEO of Telekom Malaysia, Tan Sri Zamzam Zairani, on the progress of Telekom's digital mobile services arm, Weeby. It's coming up to the 8 o'clock news bulletin with Lin Mark, but after that, the breakfast grill. Hernando Caceres, country manager of Malaysia for DNVGL services. So stay tuned on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.